Well, I told my adult Bible class this morning I would do it. Confirmation Sunday doesn't go by that I don't have tears of joy. After hearing the words of Madison and Megan and the Reverend Graham Braun, I'll get you. What more is there left to say? Is there a need for a sermon? But that would be no fun. So, I have a message for you this morning. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Pentecost Sunday, the day of your confirmation, the title is Ready, Set, Go, based on Hebrews chapter 12, 1-2, which reads, therefore, since we are surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I invite you all this morning to turn to your worship folder and find on the back of it the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Ready, Set, Go. Well, Madison, got you talking to Megan, didn't I? Madison, Megan and Graham, or as your nicknames were all during confirmation class, Baby Duck, Megaphone, and Golden Graham. The text today says, let us run with endurance. Today we're talking about running and how running a race is like living the Christian life and how the day of your confirmation is just the first step in this long, long run. Well, my old running buddy loved the words, ready, set, go. When he heard these words, he would get all excited. He would literally shake all over and jump up and down. He knew it was time for a long run, and his happiness almost was more than he could take. His eyes were wide. He would jump off on me and lick my face and wag his tail. It's a good thing my running buddy was my border collie. My faithful dog, Blade. All I had to do was whisper the words, you want to go for a run? Or even better yet, say out loud, ready, set, go. And we both knew that no matter what the weather was outside, ahead of us outside the front door of the house was a glorious 1 hour run together. As I said earlier, the Bible often compares the faithful Christian life to a long-distance run, an endurance run, not a mere 100-meter sprint, but a marathon. There are a few of you here who know what I'm talking about. A marathon. A marathon race is 26.2 miles long. That's American. Or to put it into Canadian, I'm bilingual. 42 kilometers. There's a lot of training and preparation that goes into running such a distance, and I've done it a few times. Hebrews 12, 1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. In the world of running, without a proper entry form, you can't even enter an authentic, sanctioned race. And our entry form in the race of our Christian life is baptism. Madison, Megan, and Graham, as 13 years ago, you entered the race through baptism. Your parents brought you to the waters of holy baptism. You held your precious child in your arms. You stood before God and you promised God that you would raise this child in the faith into which they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And today, Madison, Megan and Graham, I also called you Curly, Larry and Mo, but that's another story altogether. Today, in the day of your confirmation, each of you will stand on your own two feet and you speak for yourselves. You profess your own faith and your own promises. You declare that God has been faithful to you through the sacrament of the waters of holy baptism all these 13 years. That what your parents said yes for you at that time, you now say yes for yourself. And you look forward, as Megan said in her statement of faith, to a lifetime of running with Jesus. Ready? Set? Go. As you get older, you'll discover that running a marathon and running the Christian race of life have a lot in common. Both have obstacles. Both have temptations and both have adversaries. Now, I've been a dedicated runner for 25 years. There are so many joys in being a runner. Running is one of the biggest joys in my life. There are so many physical and mental and spiritual benefits, but there are challenges too. Sometimes bad weather makes it tough. Sometimes long hills can wear you out. Sometimes sprained ankles or pulled muscles hurt. And non-runners are always there to laugh and make fun of you. What a dumb thing to do, to run, to sweat, to get up at 6 a.m. to do it. Why didn't you just quit? Who in their right mind would run? In the race of our Christian life, there are like challenges. Obstacles will come your way to trip you up. Obstacles like your own sin or the sin of others. Temptations will come from without or from within, tempting you to quit running. Adversaries like the devil will whisper in your ears, "You don't have what it takes. The Christian life is just too hard. Just look around you of how many people in this world are not running with Jesus." Hey, why not just become a spiritual couch potato? Quit running. Drop out of the race. St. Paul acknowledges that some people begin the race with our Lord Jesus Christ and then they drop out. Look at any of the Christian churches of the day. Confirmands, adult instruction class graduates dropping out of the race. It was true in Paul's day. It's true in ours. St. Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verse 7, "You began to run well, but what hindered you from obeying God's truth?" My dear young friends, it's my prayer that each of you will continue running with Jesus every day of your life. It takes a lot not to give up. But the good news is this: you do not run alone. Your Lord runs with you. And He promises to keep the promises He gave to you at your baptism to the day He takes you home and you cross the finish line in heaven. Now, congregation, listen to these precious passages of Scripture which have been assigned to each of these fine young people on the day of their confirmation. Madison's confirmation verse. It's written on your handout. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27:1. Megan's verse from Joshua 24:15. Not only did she read it, we sang it in the sermon hymn. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Graham's confirmation verse from Romans 1, verse 16, the very words of St. Paul himself, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is a power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Hey guys, these are much more than just confirmation verses for one day in your life, May 27, 2012. These are passages from God's holy word for you to take with you on the long run of your Christian life until that day He calls you home. Madison, Megan, and Graham, take your verse with you on that long marathon run for the rest of your life. Not long ago in one of our adult Bible classes, a 90-year-old member of our church said, "Pastor, I know my confirmation memory verse." And she quoted it out loud. First she sprecht auf Deutsch, that means she spoke in German, and then she spoke in English. 77 years ago was her confirmation verse, and she still remembers it at age 90. Wow. Take your verse with you. And guess what? We said it already. You're never going to run alone. God has placed others in your life to help you keep running. In a long run, in a marathon, in a race, the presence of cheerleaders and supporters are very important. Other runners by your side running with you. People standing along the sidelines on the road cheering you on, calling you by name, offering you water or an energy drink or an energy bar. These people keep you running when you're tempted to quit and drop out. And the same is true for our Christian life. Hebrews chapter 12 has told us, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's run endurance, with endurance, the race set before us. The great cloud of witnesses, young folks, are God's people, God's saints, the church in heaven, the church on earth, those people of God who have already, by God's grace, crossed the finish line, are looking upon you saying, "Don't give up. You can make it. We did it. It's worth it." The saints of God are also seated all around you. Young folks, turn around just for a moment. Look at all these folks. Look at these folks who love you so much and care so much about you and your congregation. They are cheering you on. People like your faithful parents and grandparents. People like Christian friends. People like your pastor, who loves you so much and is so proud of you today. These are your cheerleaders. These are those who are part of the great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Lean on us. Depend on us. Now, even though there are many similarities in the running of a race and the running of the Christian life, there are many glorious differences. You see, the prizes of this earthly life will fade and tarnish, will wear out, and they'll get lost. I can't tell you how many of my old medals and race t-shirts and newspaper clippings and photos are lost, gone, burned up, the dog ate them, who knows? The glories of this present world will fade away, here today and gone tomorrow. But the Christian's prize in heaven lasts forever. Just before St. Paul died, just before he bowed his head to the chopping block because of his fearless testimony of his Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. St. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who loved His appearing." And here's some more good news for you guys today. In the race for eternal life, and it's good news for all of us sinners, in the race for eternal life, there is one who has run for us. There is one who has run on our behalf and has gone ahead of us, and who will see it, that we cross the finish line. Listen to our sermon text again. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, despised the cross, endured its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God His Father. Our Lord Jesus has gone before us in this race. He has cleared the way for us. This week, I was gone to the district convention of the Lutheran Church of Canada. And while I was gone, two people in our congregation passed away. I'll tell you more about that at the time of announcements. The promise our Lord has given to them in their baptism is the same promise He gives to all of us and to you three young people today as you begin the walk of your faith with Christ. He has cleared the way. He has defeated our enemies of sin, death, and the devil. He has died our death. He has forgiven our sins. He has spat in the face of the devil and all that He has done with His resurrection victory. He has done for you, Graham. He has done for you, Megan. He has done for you, Madison. He has done for a sinner like me and like you. He has crossed the finish line, and He did it for us, that one day He might bring us to where He is. In the meantime, our Lord Jesus is not just at the right hand of the Father, as the Creed says. He is also here with His people every day. That was His last promise. Before He ascended to the Father, He said to His disciples these words, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is risen with us. He runs by your side. He picks you up when you stumble and you fall. There's no better way to illustrate this truth than the way we're going to end our sermon this morning, with the story of what happened 20 years ago this year at the Olympic Games. During a long run, a long race, a man by the name of Derek Redman was the 400-meter British running champion. And he was in the semi-final race to qualify for the gold medal event in the 92 Olympics. As he rounded the last curve and came to the final straightaway, he had a severe leg injury and fell to the track in horrible pain. Now, the following description I'm going to read to you is taken from Sports Illustrated magazine. As the medical attendants were approaching, Derek Redman fought to his feet. It was animal instinct, he would later say. He set out hopping in great pain in a crazed attempt to somehow finish the race. And when he reached the final straightaway, a large man in a T-shirt burst out of the stands, hurled aside a security guard, and ran to Redman, hugging him. It was Jim Redman, Derek's father. "You don't have to do this," he told his weeping son. "Yes, I do, father," said Derek. "Well then," said his father, "we're going to finish this race together." And they did. Fighting off security men, the son's head buried in his father's shoulder, they stayed in Derek's lane all the way to the finish line. And the great crowd in the stands gaped, then rose to their feet and howled and wept. End quote. What a great picture of what our loving Lord does for us. What a great picture of what our Lord does for you, our three wonderful comrades. In the race of life, each one of us here will stumble and fall. Each one of us here in this race of life will have our share of bumps and bruises and heartaches. Each one of us here will have fears and doubts and challenges. But make no mistake about it. Everyone here who leans upon our Lord in faith We'll find him there by our side as Derek found his father. He will lift us up. He will give us his strength. He will make sure that in the end, we cross that finish line. Today is a wonderful day for a nice, long run. So, Madison, Megan, and Graham, ready? Set? Go! In the name of Jesus. Amen.